Old school.
Oh, that was hardcore. I forgot that intro.
Yeah. I figured it was about time to dust it off for a fucking...
Where's that sumo wrestler that we hired to do the voiceover on that?
Where I don't actually consider
the
that.
Where we raped him to death afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
TJ, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I have to point out that you actually did not do the original intro.
I didn't? Yeah, I didn't. I never said I did.
Hey, you did, TJ. You claimed that you did, like, you said, let's kick it old school.
Oh, well, that was the intro. What?
No, because honestly, TJ, what you should have followed it up with is a picture of Ozzy, and you should have introduced the show then.
Oh, you're right.
That's true.
Because I used to do that.
So, if you want me to do this episode, I demand that happen, or I walk, dude.
All right. I'll do it.
Thank you.
Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness, the Godfather of Metal. Tonight, he gets deep fat fried.
Deep fat fried.
Is that better?
Thank you.
Take two.
Take two.
Come on, more feeling.
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
Take two.
Paul's, you know, look, Paul's an
artiste. I'm a perfectionist.
He's an artiste, DJ.
No.
I know you could do better. Was that your best? Tell me that was your best.
It was the best I could ever do. Even in a million takes.
Not with that.
You're a lying
you know what,
sack
TJ?
Of shit.
That'd be the one I'd use.
With that attitude, you're right, TJ.
Yeah.
But you're wrong.
You're right, but I'm right, but I'm wrong.
Yep. If it's all you believe you can do is that, TJ, then you're right.
Well, fuck you, bro.
But if you look at your full potential, TJ, if you look at your real potential, if you're deep down into the bowels of TJ. That's not the best performance you can
do. The bowels. You're going to go to my
bowels. The bowels of TJ.
Was not the best. I think you know it too, TJ.
Yeah.
You know it too.
I want a fucking firebrand fucking intro, TJ. I want some fucking hot sauce. This is Ozzy, the fucking Prince of Darkness. You're going to go, it's Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, tonight Ozzy Osbourne gets deep fat fried.
Oh, man, I better stay tuned.
You better. You better stay the fuck tuned.
Let's do it one more time, TJ. Let's have fucking meaning and passion.
I'm not doing it again. Fuck you.
Meaning. Passion, TJ.
All right, it's going to be worse than the last time I did,
No,
though.
It won't. It's going to be better.
It'll all right. be better.
So you have our notes now.
All right, I'm going to try to follow you guys' notes. Okay. Tonight, Ozzy Osbourne, Deep Fat Fried.
Deep Fat Fried!
Bam! Nailed it!
See, I told
you. Nailed it!
I knew you had it in you.
Yeah!
I knew you had it in you.
Finally, TJ.
See, this is what we do. We get the fucking big performance out of you. How are you going to tune out of that?
Yeah, no one could. I can always do the Aussie-esque intro to it.
You could.
You know? Just be like,
I gave you all in the deep fuck fry mother and call it then with the damn fucking boost. God, you know, it's gonna be falling to heaven.
Deep Fat Fried.
I don't know why we didn't have Ozzy do it from the very top.
I mean, look, if you want a concise, a succinct, and just an easy to understand and follow intro to the show, Ozzy just gave. I mean, he blew it out of the water. I'm sorry, TJ.
I mean, obviously, Ozzy's gonna do a better job than I ever could.
No shit.
So, hey, update on the DFF talent show. I just want to show you guys. It's not quite ready for the public yet, but we are. I do have here a submission form that we're working on. And we're going to be, I'm just going to be, basically the submission form is ready to go, but we still need to write up the rules. But it's coming your way pretty soon. And just to give you kind of an early indicator of the sorts of talents we'll be looking at, I'm going to kind of go through those real quick, but we're going to give you much more information probably later this week. So we're going to have musical performers. So if you're a musician or you got a band or you fucking make music in your spare time or whatever, you're free to enter that shit. We have visual arts that can either be like graphic design kind of shit or, you know, hand drawing, painting, whatever the fuck. We got comedy. You think you're funny, you can try to make us laugh. And we got your basic party tricks, you know? You can do some kind of amusing little fucking trick. Enter that shit. And each one of those is going to have a prize value attached to it. And then there's also going to be a final round. Unfortunately, the party trick round is not going to be able to proceed to the next round. But the rest of you guys can all proceed. And the reason the party tricks can't is because, you know, once we've seen your party trick, you know, unless you got another one, I guess.
What if
I don't
it's
know.
So good that it competes directly?
Yeah, maybe we could do that.
What if it's a party trick that blows your fucking mind harder than any of the other entries?
It would have to.
Maybe it will. Maybe it will. I don't know. I'm still designing the rules, so maybe it will turn out that way. But
what if a guy
swallows
a bullfrog and then lays an ostrich egg that has that same bullfrog inside of it when it hatches?
Well, then, you know what?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that would probably...
That's like a party trick.
If they can do that, then they could probably do another trick. So, we'll see. We'll see, Paul. We'll see.
Oh, we will see.
Yeah, I guess we will, Paul.
I think
guess
you
the
underestimate.
Fuck we will.
What if you've got a dude that can, like, his dick hangs low and it wobbles to and fro, and he can tie it in a knot, and he can tie it in a bow, and he can throw it over his shoulder like a continental soldier?
Well, you can't.
It's not really a trick.
That'd be an impressive trick, but too hot for YouTube.
You see this dude that can tie his cock in a knot? That's a fuck. That's the essence of a party trick.
Hmm.
You ever seen somebody tie their dick in a knot?
No, I guess I haven't.
What about a bow?
Yeah.
Nope. Okay.
I've seen a bow.
I've seen
a dick bow. I've never seen a dick knot, but I've seen a dick bow. I will admit that. Anyway, let's get to the topic at hand because we got a lot to go through. So maybe I just open by asking you guys, like, what's your opinions on Ozzy? You guys have any fucking strong feelings one way or the other? Or is it kind of like, yeah, Ozzy, you know, he's there.
Yeah, I'm not a big giant Ozzy fan, but I like that he's out there, and I like some of his stuff.
What would you say is a song that stands out to
you? The earlier stuff, War Pigs and that kind of stuff, you know?
So a lot of the stuff he did with Sabbath, more so than his solo career.
Yeah.
What about you, Scotty? What's your opinion?
I'm definitely a fan of Ozzy. Like I said, we've kind of talked to this before, TJ, but I feel like Ozzy is one of those guys that deserves a lot of credit. And I really like a lot of his music, but it's just not the biggest thing that I'm into.
Right.
But I definitely see the influence and the importance that he had to the genre. And the fact that he's just, you know, he's been able to stick around so long. And I might be the most successful artist at this point in the rock game, but he's still putting out music even to this day.
I like that Ozzy, lived the fucking hype, dude.
He did.
You know what I mean?
And you're going to find out. Anyone who doubts that is going to find out.
No, that Ozzy is 100% legit. I mean, Ozzy is kind of one of the things that, like, one of the prototypical, you know, rock stars.
Right.
I mean, that lived it just so extreme that all the other guys that were trying to live, they were trying to live up
I mean,
to
he's
what
one
Ozzy
of the He's one of the people that established the whole archetype for what it means to be a fucking rock
star. And I mean,
star.
Like, and all the guys, like, Manson's a guy like this definitely chased that thing. But how do you take it to the same level as Ozzy?
It's pretty hard.
He's literally insane.
So let me just give you some quick rundown of some fucking Ozzy facts here. So Ozzy Osbourne, you know how old you guys know how old Ozzy is?
What, 65?
65, says Scotty.
I think he's in his like early 70s or late 70s, like 69, 70, something like that.
So Paul, you're right. He is 70 years old.
There you go.
Oh, okay, 70.
And he's going to be 71 this December. December 3rd is his birthday. Over the course of his astonishing 52-year career, he's produced 20 albums. That's not I'll be counting all the extended plays and re-releases and all that stuff. That's just the core 20 albums, which have sold 100 million. We made about $100 million in album sales over the course of his career.
Jeez.
Appeared in several films, had a successful reality show, actually two successful reality shows. He's been featured in commercials. He has a popular music festival that bears his name, endless mountains of merchandise, a best-selling book, far too many live shows to possibly count. He's been touring fucking relentlessly over the course of those 52 years.
Most importantly, more drugs than you can ever imagine one person doing.
Oh, we'll definitely get into that for sure.
The thing I love about Ozzy, too, is the fact that Ozzy's the kind of guy that has all the success, but you would just never know. He just mumbles around like, but he's like super successful, super fucking prolific.
I'm not even done telling you about his success.
I know,
yet.
I'm just saying that the initial...
So he has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He was actually the first... There's a Birmingham Walk of Stars as well, and he was the first person to ever get a star on it out of 39 people. By the way, two of the other people on the Walk of Fame are other members of fucking Black Sabbath. He's won 3 Grammys. He's been nominated for 8. He won the 2004 NME Award for Godlike Genius. He's been inducted into both the UK Music Hall of Fame and the US Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was the 2008 recipient of the Living Legend Award by the Classic Rock Roll of Honors Awards. Previous winners included Alice Cooper, Jimmy Page, Lemmy. Very prestigious fucking award. Over the course of his long and storied career, pretty much everyone has heard of Ozzy, except for, of course, the fans of Moist Calzone here, who read some of these tweets. Oh, yeah, well, Ozzy collaborated on Calzone with on a track called Take What You Want. And here's some of the reactions of the Calzone fans. Ozzy Osbourne did so good for his first song. So cool of Post Malone, sorry, Moist Calzone, to put him on like that. Look, yeah, isn't that cool?
And 306 likes to that one.
Who the fuck is Ozzy Osbourne? This is why I love Moist Calzone for shining light on unknown artists.
1600.
This has got to be, like, these got to be trolls.
No, they're not. They're really this stupid. Moist Calzone's album is so good. I don't know who this Ozzy Osbourne guy is, but Post just put Bro on 100, number one metal. He's about to blow up hella fast. I see his name everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, it's time for some people to die.
I don't want it. I don't want to believe that these aren't trolls. I don't want to believe that this is.
You don't want to believe, Paul, but at the end of the day, you have to believe, man.
You know, I want to believe. I want to believe they're this stupid, because if they're just trolling, that's not nearly as fun. Anyway, now that we've properly introduced the Prince of Darkness, let us take a trip back to December 3rd, 1948. When he was born to two working-class parents. That's his mom, Lillian. She was a part-time factory worker. And his dad, John Thomas, was a toolmaker. By the way, Ozzy's birth name is John Michael Osbourne. Here's a picture of him. I don't know what age he is here. Looks like he's probably like 5 or 6. And even though his, you might think that because his birth name is John Michael Osbourne, that he took on the name Ozzy as a stage name, but it's actually a nickname that he got in primary school. And if my name was John Michael, I definitely would be looking for something to do with that. He didn't really do that well in school. He had severe dyslexia, obviously at that time was not super well understood.
Right.
So, you know, if you had a learning disability like that, you were pretty much just labeled stupid.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah, he's just dumb. What you gonna do? You know, he's just a fucking moron. That eventually led to him dropping out of school at the age of 15. Can you guess which of these blurry people Ozzy is here?
No.
Yeah, not really.
No, I can't.
He's the one on the right in the 3-button little coat there.
Oh, okay.
With a giant fucking forehead.
He does look pretty evil.
He looks evil as fuck, so you should have definitely known.
Looks like fucking Pennywise or some shit, dude. Damn.
Yeah, he does. It does look like a childhood photo of Pennywise, the dancing clown. So at the age of 14, Ozzy heard the Beatles single She Loves You. And he basically decided right then and there he wanted to be a rock star. So at age 15, he dropped out. He worked a series of odd jobs. He worked mostly like in labor jobs. It was he was a trainee plumber, just a fucking day laborer kind of person. He did apprentice toolmaker, which you'll remember was his father's career, a car factory horn tuner, and he worked at a slaughterhouse. And that was all just from the age of 15 to 18.
Damn.
So he was like going, he wasn't really finding much stability in the world.
Hell no.
It seemed like he was, couldn't really commit to anything. Just had this dream of being a rock star. Eventually, he actually got in trouble when he was 18, when he decided to try out crime for a living. Try to attempt some burglary, mostly just to make money. He wanted to steal things so that he could sell them to people in bars so that he could afford to drink with the money from what he sold.
What do burglars always wear this like really identifiable outfit?
I don't know. It's just
don't
like
they just dress like normal people. Official, so they blend in.
That's the official outfit of the burglar, dude. Oh, you know,
right. Burglar.
Yeah, where does this idea of burglars in the striped fucking suit come from?
I don't know.
All burglars are just retired mimes, I guess. I don't know. He tried to steal a TV. The cops showed up and basically he dropped the TV in an attempt to get away, and he ended up hurting himself. He ended up dropping it on his feet, I think.
So crime does not pay for Ozzy.
Yeah, he also stole some clothes that he thought were he was going to be able to go sell at a bar, but they were actually baby clothes. So
wasn't great as a burglar either. So,
yeah, I don't think he was any better as a burglar than he was as a slaughterhouse worker or an apprentice toolmaker or a car horn tester or any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's like he drops the television, he steals baby clothes.
Yeah, so not the greatest burglar. He was sentenced. Well, they said, you know, you pay the fine, you don't have to go to prison. But if you don't pay the fine, you're going to prison. And it was a 6-week sentence. His father could have afforded to pay it, but decided not to because he wanted to teach his son a lesson, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's fucking obviously not a very good criminal. I think he needs to learn that lesson.
You're going to prison to get raped. That'll teach you.
Apparently.
Well, I mean, it's British prison, Paul, or jail.
Apparently it worked because the next year, Ozzy decided to actually start pursuing the dream that he formed at 14 after hearing the Beatles on the radio. Walking down the streets in search of something to do, Ozzy met an old friend who had just put a band together called Approach. And this band had no singer, so Ozzy's just like, fuck it, I'm a singer, sure. So he ran home, he convinced his father to buy him a $50 amp and microphone. Approach was a rhythm-type band, and Ozzy really didn't like the kind of music they were making, so he quit. But he liked the idea of being in a band, so he joined another band called Music Machine, and that one didn't last long either.
Not with a name like that, Music Machine.
We are Music Machine!
Too fucking generic, dude.
Music Machine, put in quarter, get music!
It's like, no, it's not gonna work.
So Ozzy and his old friend Terrence Butler, who later became known as Geezer Butler, then formed a band called Rare Breed.
Oh.
Rare Breed.
Sounds like a bad video game.
Yeah. It sounds like a bad video game from the 90s. Yep. Like a Killer Instinct ripoff.
Yep. You
know? Rare Breed. Insert combo. Quarter to continue.
But Rare Breed also wasn't going anywhere. So eventually Ozzy put an ad in the paper that said, Ozzy Zig, vocalist, requires band, owns own PA.
Cool.
So on the other side of town, two men by the names of Bill Ward and Tony Iommi had created a band called The Rest, which had later changed their name to Mythology. So basically...
downgrade.
So, Tony sees this ad in the paper of the Ozzy Zig ad, and he thinks to himself, well, that can't be the same Ozzy I used to beat up on the playground when I was younger. So he goes to the address, but sure enough, it is the same one. And actually, at first, he fucking left, but I guess somehow they decided to actually try to work together, even though they'd hated each other in school and pretty much hated each other for most of the time they were in the band together and probably kind of hate each other to this day.
Cool.
But they all hooked up and they created their latest band, Polka Tulk.
Dude, these guys are not know how to name a fucking band.
Man. It's like they keep getting worse. Yeah. It's like The Rest, okay, not the greatest, but I guess Mythology, lame, and then Polka Tulk. So Polka Tulk was derived from a can of talcum powder that Ozzy found in a bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, because why not? The band now consisted of 6 people, Ozzy Osbourne, Bill Ward, Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, Jimmy Phillips, and Clark. It was a blues and jazz kind of band, but with like a little bit of a hard edge to it. So Phillips and Clark did not like the hard edge. So they both quit, and Polka Tulk became Earth.
Ugh.
The fuck? I guess it was early on in, you know, kind of rock history, so all these names were still available. They're just...
Earth.
How did they get this one?
Actually,
go through the dictionary?
It turns out that the name wasn't available because there was this gig where Earth was booked to play, and they were booked to play at an upscale banquet, which was not the kind of music they were doing. They were asked to perform in tuxedos, which you see here in this picture. The people that hired them actually mistook them for another band that's named Earth.
Oh.
So apparently the name wasn't really available. So the show went on. The rich people in the crowd did not dig on the music that was being produced by these guys. So shortly thereafter, the band finally decided, hey, enough shitty names. Let's call ourselves Black Sabbath.
Yeah, good name.
And it wasn't just a name change, though. They, at that time, they decided they were going to commit to a darker sound that was hopefully going to set them apart from the more hippie sound that was going on at the time. This is 1969.
Summer of Love.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a little bit of a shift in the zeitgeist, I feel like, in 1969. That's when the Manson murders were happening and stuff like that. So they changed their name. They changed their sound. They started to garner moderate interest from record labels. Warner Brothers Records gave them a little pittance of money, like $1,200, and said, hey, go record an album with this. And so they went and they recorded their self-titled debut album, Black Sabbath. Now, this album here was recorded in a single 12-hour studio session.
Damn.
So they didn't, there was no, you know, now it takes months maybe to make an album for some people.
They did it in 12 hours.
They did it in 12 hours. They're like, we got a fucking, they had $1,200. They, a records company had said, go make a fucking album. And they're like, they did it.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. I mean, if they're either going to, I mean, look, with an opportunity like this, like, either they're going to come back and make an album, and they're going to make it into something, or they're just going to fail, and they're not going to make shit. So, two pretty clear choices.
So, Ozzy, speaking about this album from the vantage point of 2001, said, I think the first album is just absolutely incredible. It's naive, and there's an absolute sense of unity. It's not contrived in any way, shape, or form. We weren't old enough to be clever. I love it all, including the mistakes. So it was released on the 13th of February in 1970 in the United Kingdom and the 1st of June in 1970 for the United States. The album reached number 8 on the UK album charts and number 23 on the US Billboard charts. And is this album is widely considered to be the first heavy metal album.
Cool.
And so they basically...
They basically invented heavy metal.
Right. So in a 12-hour session, they basically... I mean, they had the songs, obviously, you know, in their heads a little bit before that, but yeah, basically in a 12-hour session they invented heavy metal, and it was a huge hit pretty much right out of the gate. You know, even though the record company was only mildly interested in them, only gave them a little pittance of money, you know, the fact that they were doing something that was so different than what their contemporaries were doing, you know, a lot of times that doesn't add up to anything, but in this instance people seem to be hungry for it. It's like, yeah, something new, something different, and it really fucking resonated. And became a huge hit. They recorded their follow-up album that same fucking year. Honestly, we could probably do an entire episode on Black Sabbath, but we don't have time to do that. And, I mean, I was tempted to, honestly, but we're trying to focus on Ozzy here. So it's suffice it to say, Black Sabbath had hit after hit from around 1970 to about 1975 when they started to decline a little bit. So it was around the point of, oh, by the way, all these albums that you see here from fucking 1970 to 1975 critically flopped. Wow. Even though they were selling well, critics detested the fucking band.
I really don't understand that now in the modern times, this kind of divide between the critical reception and the public's reception of things.
Yeah.
Totally foreign to us now.
Yeah, nowadays that doesn't happen.
Yeah, the critics always know what's good.
Well, I mean,
For instance, Lester Bangs of Rolling Stone famously dismissed Master of Reality as naive, simplistic, repetitive, absolute doggerel. Although the same magazine would later place the album at number 298 on their 500 greatest albums of all time list, compiled in 2003.
They did the same thing to Bohemian Rhapsody, dude. Like, you see this a lot of times. Critics, just, they hear something new that they haven't heard before, and they just instantly go, oh, nope, this is bad. This is not good. People don't want this.
I'm scared.
Yeah, too new.
Something new. I'm skirt. I'm fucking skirt, boy.
So their album Sabotage, you see there in 1975, was decidedly less successful than the five albums that preceded it. And yeah, they really cranked these fucking albums out.
No,
I mean, it was Black Sabbath and Paranoid in 1970, Master Reality in 71, Volume 4 in 72, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath in 73, which was their first one that kind of got some critical acclaim, by the way. 75 was Sabotage, and, you know, from there on, you know, they still sell well, but you can definitely see a decline in their sales from 1975. So, their next two albums, Technical Ecstasy and Never Say Die, you know, They went U.S. gold, but no real awards in the U.K., nothing in Canada. So, you know, their sales were kind of on the decline at that point. So in 1979, Ozzy was unanimously kicked out of the band for being too much of a druggie and alcoholic. Now, Ozzy claims that he was no more of a druggie or alcoholic than the rest of the band, but they all say that while they were all definitely into drugs and alcohol, Ozzy was on a whole other level.
I believe the band.
Yeah, and basically they said, like, you know, he was always the first person to start doing drugs, and then he did the most drugs, and by the time they were all passed out, he was still fucking partying.
Yeah. I've known people that fit that profile before.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah, there's definitely, you know, I could see all these other mustachioed weirdos doing some drugs, but I don't know if they did Ozzy Osbourne levels of drugs, you know?
According to them, they did not. Ozzy once said in an interview that Black Sabbath started off as a rock band that did coke and ended up as a coke band that did rock.
Cool. It's a good transition.
So, basically, it's 1979. The band as a whole has been on the decline for a few years at this point. Ozzy feels like, you know, he gets kicked out of the band. He feels like, well, that's that, you know? So basically, for the next 3 months, Ozzy takes all the money he has saved and he starts blowing it all.
Cool.
On a 24/7 kind of rock star lifestyle. And that wasn't like, that wasn't a result of him being like this unthinking kind of like he doesn't know what he's doing kind of person. He's doing this intentionally because he feels like, well, my music career's over. I'm going to have this one last epic run of the rock and roll lifestyle before I, you know, go back to Birmingham and either go on the government dole or find some kind of menial labor fucking job to eke out the rest of my existence.
Start testing car horns again.
Mm-hmm.
It's got experience.
Yeah. Go back to the abattoir or something.
I mean, you know what, dude? You can't criticize somebody for that. You hit big and you're just like, you realize it's probably not coming back. So why not fucking enjoy the money that you made,
The last hurrah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, so he decided to have a last hurrah. And but this guy here, this guy is Don Arden. He's actually the father of a woman who's now Sharon Osbourne, used to be Sharon Arden. Father of Ozzy's future wife at the time. Major UK music manager. He was managing Black Sabbath at the time, and he believed that Ozzy... He believed in Ozzy, signed Ozzy to the fucking label, or, you know, whatever, you know, he kept pushing Ozzy, kept him on as a client. And his original intention was he was trying to get Ozzy back with Sabbath. He's like, Black Sabbath ain't shit without Ozzy Osbourne. We need to get you back in that band. But the other band members were like, we don't want him. We're done. So after that, he tries to brand Ozzy. He's like, okay, well, you're going to start a new band called Son of Sabbath. Which Ozzy has immediately just like, that's fucking stupid.
That's a terrible fucking idea.
Yeah, if I'm going to go solo, I'm going to be solo, not.
So then they're like, okay, fine. We won't do that. So then they tried to hook him up with a bunch of other musicians, but nothing really seemed to take. No one really seemed to gel with Ozzy. And finally, Ozzy ended up hooking up with a guitarist named Randy Rhodes, who... helped him solidify a sound for his debut solo album, the Blizzard of Oz here. Which, Blizzard of Oz, by the way, actually started as the name of the band. He wanted to start a band called Blizzard of Oz. He ended up just going with Ozzy Osbourne and made it the title of the debut album instead.
Probably a smart idea.
So 99 times out of 100, going solo doesn't really work. Or it works on a moderate success level. Like, you know, Serj Tankian leaves fucking System of a Down, you know, and does some solo shit.
I mean, it's a respectable music career.
Some of it's okay.
But it's not System of a Down.
It ain't System of a Down.
Correct.
Right? And the other guy, Darren Malkovich, or whatever the fuck his name is, he goes and starts that Scars on Broadway thing, and that, you know, whatever. It's like, that's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
But Ozzy was just that 1 in 100 that it... huge success. Bigger success than any of the fucking Black Sabbath albums. Blizzard of Oz was a huge hit on the strength of tracks like Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley, which Mr. Crowley is probably my favorite Ozzy song, by the way.
Mr. Crowley.
They were released as singles in 1980, Crazy Train went on to peak at number 9 on the Billboard's top track charts. In January of 2009, the song achieved 2X Platinum certification status. It received little airplay upon its initial release. Crazy Train became one of the signature songs of Ozzy's catalog. The album's commercial success, it was certified 4 times platinum in the U.S., feat Osbourne would not achieve again until the release of No More Tears in 1991. The album has sold over 6 million copies to date worldwide, making it Osbourne's best-selling solo album. In 2017, it was ranked number 9 on Rolling Stone's list of 100 greatest metal albums of all time. His follow-up, also with Randy Rhoads on guitar, was Diary of a Madman.
You can definitely see the 80s aesthetic creeping in here.
Absolutely.
100%.
Not quite as wildly successful as its predecessor, but still met with critical and financial success. And Ozzy Osbourne has said in interviews that it is his personal favorite of
his
albums.
Wow, really? That's surprising, because when we're talking about Ozzy albums, I don't really hear this one mentioned all that much.
Well, it's his favorite.
Hey, I mean, hey, we all have our favorites.
That's what he likes.
I'm just surprised to hear that.
My favorite show of ours was the Elder Scrolls show.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's my personal favorite.
So, well, hey. It seemed like there was going to be this very long and fruitful collaboration between
Randy Rhoads
and Ozzy Osbourne. But unfortunately, as we're about to see in this news report I'm going to play, that was not to be.
Dude, hold on. Before you go on, that guitar.
Yeah.
Dude, that looks like it looks like a titty with a nipple.
Yeah, there you go,
dude.
Paul.
That's pretty awesome. I did that on purpose.
Yeah, nipple guitar. Tweak the nip.
Yeah, flip the nip.
According to police, the three were on an early morning joyride after staying up over 24 hours, while some members of the Ozzy Osbourne band slept in their tour bus parked next to the house. The other three buzzed overhead, circling the bus 3 times. On the 4th time, they didn't make it.
The plane had been flying treetop level roughly 3 times, and then after the 4th pass, he tipped the bus on the opposite side, and then it went over the top of the bus, the plane did, and hit a pine tree in the front yard, and after it hit the pine tree, it nosedived into the home.
The home then burst into flames and killed were the band's lead guitarist, hairdresser, and bus driver, 36-year-old Andrew Eichock, who was also the plane's pilot. They were flying in a Beechcraft Bonanza like this one. No one was injured in the home, which is reportedly owned by country music singer Jerry Calhoun. The band was on a tour, which included a concert this weekend at the T-Bowl. Police say the band's bus driver lived nearby and brought the band here for a brief stop before continuing on. Near Leesburg, Marty Salt, Channel 9, Eyewitness News.
Dude.
I wonder if cocaine was involved in any of
Yes.
I wonder if any drugs were involved.
I have the sneaking suspicion that a lot of cocaine was involved in that decision.
And the fact that, you know what, you have to give Ozzy credit, because he was saying all the people were doing stupid shit like this, and they're all like, hey, Ozzy, you want to go on a fucking plane-filled coke ride? You know, he's probably like, I'm good.
All these rock stars that,
like... A plane-filled coke ride, I love it.
Smash things, and like, you know, like Manson has something on his stage fall on him because he's doing hijinks and shit. None of them will ever rise to the level of literally crashing a fucking plane into a mansion.
I know, dude.
Like, there's no like amount of pouty ass fucking destroy the hotel room type of rock starism that can go on anymore.
Because
he crashed he's like the 9/11 hijackers, but he gets paid for it.
It's because back in the day, dude, these people had some serious fucking balls. Like, these rock stars smashing up a hotel room, they know all that's going to happen is their fucking management company is going to pay a fucking big hotel
bill.
Yeah,
call me when you fly a plane into a giant mansion.
These motherfuckers are putting their lives on the fucking line.
And then
dude.
He walked out of it. Like, it killed the guitar guy, but Ozzy was just like, oh, fuck, get off the fucking plane.
Ozzy wasn't on the
He
plane.
Wasn't on the plane.
Oh, he wasn't on the plane?
He was on the tour bus.
Ozzy was on
oh,
the
he
bus.
Was on the bus. Okay.
But
I thought Ozzy was on the plane.
No, he wasn't.
Dude, but Ozzy had enough fucking sense not to be on the plane, dude.
Right, but he's still connected to that forever.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, Ozzy probably did it.
God damn it, I thought Ozzy was on that
dude,
fucking
Dude, Ozzy probably
plane.
Did a couple
Sorry
lines.
Sorry to disappoint you.
You know what happened, dude? Ozzy did a couple lines to go to bed. Like, he probably took it as, like, he's like, go to sleep medicine. Like, all right, you're going to play, right, all right. And then they fucking killed themselves.
So, here's Ozzy talking about what kind of dude Randy Rhoads was, at least one aspect of it here. I'm going to show you this video here. Let me just skip ahead a little.
If anything, it was the true musician of truest musician I've ever known, because he would, what he would do when he came to England, when he got time off, he'd drive around for see all these different places, you know. He's probably seen more of England than I have, you know. And he was very dedicated to his instrument. In fact, when we were touring America, he wanted to get a classical degree, and I don't know what for. I mean, he was a great guitar player, but he said to me one time, you know, I'm not going to do rock and roll all my life. I wanted to become a classical guitar teacher. I wanted to get a degree in classical music. And every day off, he'd get the Yellow Pages, and all of us would be in the bar getting drunk and whatever. He'd have a classical lesson in his room.
I love all the interviews, dude. It just ends abruptly, like, all right, well, there's...
That was the usable part.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was studying. He was going, what the?
So what I got from that was he liked to travel, and he wanted to be a guitar teacher.
He was
maybe.
Like a serious musician. He was right. More about the music than about the lifestyle.
Right.
Gotcha.
But he's the one that died.
Right. Which is strange because he was on the Coke plane that crashed into
yeah.
a fucking...
He was, Ozzy never said he never did it. He was just more interested in
so,
that.
So, from there, they took a few weeks off the tour. Ozzy didn't want to continue the tour.
Understandably.
Right. Ozzy didn't even want to continue the tour. He's like, fuck this. But they're trying to be like, look, you need to keep going. You know, we got all these dates and shit. So they're like, okay, you took 2 weeks off.
Basically, Ozzy, you've signed a bunch of contracts and a bunch of people spent a lot of money.
So
you have to do it.
So they find a... They find a couple. They try out some replacement people to at least continue on the tour. They end up settling on a dude named Bernie Torme, which he's not important. He only played a few dates, and the crowd didn't really like his playing because he was more jazzy and shit, which really wasn't what they were there for. But I thought he had an interesting insight into what Ozzy was going through at the time that his guitarist died.
Sure.
Because Ozzy never really... I couldn't really find a quote from Ozzy really, like, pouring his heart out about it. But this guy, who was there to kind of observe Ozzy in the aftermath, I think had a little bit better of an insight. So this is a picture of Ozzy and and Randy. So this is Bernie Torme's quote. He says, to Ozzy, he was the one who was key, the linchpin in Ozzy's renewed career, and also a friend. So when Randy was killed, I suppose Ozzy really found that hard to handle. Anyone would. So he wasn't in a good way. There was a lot of tears. He was having a difficult time health-wise with his voice. A lot of shows had to be canceled. Sometimes you come off stage, Ozzy would be crying. It would have been very hard. But he held it together. He was great on stage. It never showed. And for the record, Ozzy didn't drink at all on gig days. You couldn't even bring a can of beer anywhere near the dressing room. It wasn't allowed.
Damn.
That kind of gives you some good insight into Ozzy. I mean, the fact that
I've heard this from multiple sources.
That he
by
was
the
really
way.
Well, yeah. I mean, also it just shows that he really was attached to, you know, Randy Rhoads and really broken up about his death. And it wasn't just like an easy thing. It was just like he realized he had to fucking soldier on. And as much as it was painful, like,
well,
I gotta
he didn't really realize that. People around him really pressured him into
well,
that.
Yeah. I mean, but I think that I mean, even so, he had the instinct to listen to those people. So I mean,
that's
part
true.
Of that resonated with him because he could just been like, "No, I'm not doing it."
Yeah. So he soldiered on. Obviously, he had a very difficult time completing that tour, but he did
sure.
do it.
I mean, that's understandable.
And this thing about him not drinking on show days and shit, I've heard that from multiple sources. They said, you know, on a day when he's not doing a show, all bets are off. He'll get fucked up. But on a show day, he takes it fucking pretty serious. He doesn't want to get fucked up before the show.
Cool.
Which a lot of rock stars obviously do not have that mentality.
If there's anyone to emulate as far as successful rock careers, Ozzy is one of them. And he's,
52 years
I mean,
in the
and
fucking
it,
game.
And obviously, as you've shown, I mean, there's a lot of adversity, and that wasn't just like, well, smooth sailing, you know what I mean?
So Ozzy went through a lot of attempted replacements for Randy Rhoads over the course of, you know, pretty much all throughout the 80s. It really wasn't until...
Is that The Edge?
No.
It
wasn't until... this is Zakk Wylde there. He met Zakk Wylde in 1988. That was kind of the first time he really gelled with a guitarist again. And,
is that Hunter Holmesworth Helmsley?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it is.
Cool.
So Osborne, he sustained commercial success into the 90s, starting with 1991's No More Tears.
Oh, shit.
Featuring Mama, I'm Coming Home. The album enjoyed much radio and MTV exposure. At this point, let's just take a look at Ozzy's solo discography so we can kind of see what he went through as far as that stuff goes. So here's the main catalog here, and you can kind of see where they charted in the UK over here and the US over here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised the Ultimates in higher than Bark at the Moon for sure.
So yeah, I mean, you see pretty much with the exception of this Undercover album released in 2005, it seems like he's maintained pretty solid commercial success throughout his fucking career.
The ones I'm most familiar with would definitely be the Blizzard of Oz, Ultimate Sin, and Osmosis.
Yeah. Osmosis was kind of the album that was that came out when I was like 10 when that album came out. And I remember mom buying it and listening to it a lot. So I know a lot of songs off of Osmosis pretty well.
Perry Mason.
Like this Undercover record, if I remember correctly, is other bands covering his shit.
I don't know why it would be included in this discography then, but yeah, that might make sense.
Well, because it was probably just officially licensed by him.
And maybe it was him covering other people's shit.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Let's see. It's entirely okay, so songs. Yeah, it's all covers.
So he covers.
Okay. Yeah, it was him covering other people. He's covering the Beatles and King Crimson.
Oh, Rocky Mountain
like
Way.
That.
I don't think I've really heard much of this album. So
I guess he did a Sympathy for the Devil cover and a few other things, but I guess none of it really resonated too much because obviously it wasn't a huge commercial success.
No,
but
definitely not.
But there's that, and you'll notice his last album was Scream from 2010. So it's been a fucking pretty solid 9 years. Since he's really recorded much, but it's pretty impressive to go from 1980 through 2010 and to, you know, I mean, not every album, none of the, you know, like he's charting at like 21, 16, 19, 6, 13, 7, 4, 4.
I mean, hey, Black Rain went platinum and gold.
134 here on Undercover. That's not the greatest, but 3 and 4 for these last two albums.
Look, I mean,
in the US.
Most of these motherfuckers make most of their money off of touring anyways.
Right, and obviously he's been a relentless road act.
And I haven't seen an Aussie concert that wasn't packed, so let me just say that.
Right. So, yeah, he's done a shit ton of things. We don't have a tremendous amount of time to devote to Ozfest, but we probably should talk about Ozfest. I guess I didn't pull a fucking image for it. So just imagine there's an image for Ozfest up.
Ozfest.
Or I guess just switch to us. That'll do.
Yeah, so, we're the epitome of Ozfest.
We're super Ozfest. So Ozfest was it was annual from 1996 to 2008. And then it's happened infrequently since. It's been like on and off years.
It was always a big, I remember it was a big fucking deal when Ozfest was.
Oh, yeah. And it was a tremendous forum for heavy metal acts.
Not just them, all these little like permutations of metal that come along in those
super
times.
Metal,
like,
yeah,
new metal and rap metal,
right,
and shit all found.
It was
at
a
home
great
there.
Way if your band was on the Ozfest lineup, even if you weren't super well known.
Got a lot of exposure.
Yeah, it was a great way to get exposure.
And I mean, and by this time exposure. Too, bands were super willing. It's a great marriage because I think a lot of these bands probably did Ozfest just so they could work with Ozzy. You know,
oh,
what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
By the time Ozfest starts,
he's the godfather of metal at that
right,
point.
Right.
So.
He literally, you know, was part of the band that invented the whole genre.
Right.
You know? So it's
absolutely. And as a result, they attracted a shit ton of huge acts. You know, it's just a small sampling of the kind of acts that played there over the
years.
I've
watched some stuff from Ozfest.
Yeah.
And the behind the scenes, and Ozzy is basically like the king.
Right.
It is.
Well,
like,
or fucking
like,
Ozfest. I mean,
he should
want. It is. I mean, it's a great sight to see.
Slipknot played Ozfest, Pantera, Marilyn Manson, Iron Maiden, Rob Zombie, Linkin Park, System of a Down, Disturbed, shit ton more. And actually, Iron Maiden, there's a fucking kind of digression I'd like to go into about Iron Maiden. It's a semi-digression because it kind of comes back around to something else, but it's a pretty funny fucking story. So here's Iron Maiden. At Iron Maiden's last ever Ozfest performance, which happened on the 20th of August, 2005, at the Hyundai Pavilion at Glen Helen in San Bernardino, California, several negative events took place.
Negative events, huh?
Negative events, dude. So during the first song, several members of the crowd, brought on by Sharon Osbourne, bombarded the British metal band Iron Maiden with eggs, bottle caps, and ice.
Cool.
After vocalist Bruce Dickinson allegedly ridiculed Ozzy's need for a teleprompter during his performances, as well as the Osbournes' family ventures into reality television. So
he insulted the king, basically.
Right. He shit on Ozzy.
And
the crowd decided they were on Ozzy's side.
Right.
So during three of Iron Maiden's songs, the PA system was switched off. cutting power to Dickinson's microphone, and then to all the band's instruments. During the concert, Bruce Dickinson can be heard accusing the festival's organizers of deliberately cutting the band's power.
Well, no shit.
On Iron Maiden's departure, Sharon Osbourne came on stage to make a few statements, telling the audience that she absolutely loved Iron Maiden, but thought that Dickinson was a prick. Rod Smallwood, manager for Iron Maiden.
Yeah, his name is Smallwood. Dude. His name is Rod Smallwood.
Rod Smallwood.
Yep.
I mean, getting the Smallwood name alone is one thing. But
I know.
Rod Smallwood. Smallwood.
Hey, Paul, you know what? Maybe he knows how to use it.
Maybe so.
Anyway, he's the manager for Iron Maiden. He issued a statement shortly after the debacle condemning the attack on the band.
And reasserting the fact that he did indeed have an average-sized penis.
On a later Howard Stern show in 2006, Bruce Dickinson commented, "Did I have a go at Ozzy and Black Sabbath? No. Why would I? But I do find the Osbournes TV series loathsome. And the whole cult of reality TV celebrities disgusting." In response to the claims that he had apologized to Ozzy for Dickinson's behavior, Steve Harris, another member of the band, stated, "No, I didn't apologize. What I actually said was that if there was anything to apologize for, then I'd do it. But that was twisted around to seem like I said I was sorry. That never happened."
Oh.
Okay, whatever.
I think you apologized, bro.
It sounds like you apologized, dude.
Let's talk about the reality TV show.
So, I don't know, dude. I liked the Osbournes back in the day.
So let's talk about it real quick. So Ozzy was he became much more of a commercial entity in the 2000s. Now, obviously, he was always a mainstream product, but it was he definitely broke more into the mainstream with stuff like this TV show. This was actually the most popular show on MTV during the time it was running.
People
loved the
show.
Watched show on there. I would show you like a clip from the show, but unfortunately, Viacom are pretty big fucking jerks about their precious goddamn copyright. So instead,
Viacom don't play.
Let's just the three of us take a stab at trying to describe what this show fucking was for anybody who hasn't seen it.
Well, it's the show that like I have kind of like a little guilty pleasure in reality TV shows.
Oh, shit.
I don't watch a ton of them or all of them by any stretch of the mean, but if one comes along that's got some good personalities on it and gets some good conflict going, I like it, and it's because of this show. I started watching this show. This is the first reality TV show that I really bought into, and it was trying to give you a slice of what it was like to be the son or daughter or wife of Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy really wasn't front and center in most of the show.
No, actually, it was not.
The show was more about his crazy children, Jack and
Kelly.
And
Sharon.
Sharon trying to deal with them.
And trying to wrangle Ozzy. So, like, if Ozzy was on the show, it was always kind of wrangling him. He was doing some like absent-minded sort of thing. Like,
they would go to Ozzy for commentary sometimes on the shit that you watched. Like, if the dogs were shitting all over the house.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Mostly it would be the other characters dealing with the dog shit problem. But Ozzy would ring in with, like, "I can't believe this. It's like a fucking zoo in here." You know, that was what he contributed. He was there, but the show wasn't about him.
No.
Yeah, he was just kind of like the curmudgeon, really. A lot of times he was just curmudgeonly.
There were some episodes that were way heavily like him. Like they did a couple episodes where he was on the road, and
right.
So most of the episode is him getting into hijinks and stuff on the plane. And
yeah,
but for the most part, his family carried a lot of this. And there was one kid that refused to be in it, right?
Actually, Ozzy has I think 6 or 7 children in all.
So yeah,
and most of them were never on the show.
Right.
He does have.
But Jack and Kelly are both from Sharon.
Yes.
So,
and I think there's one other from Sharon that I think either didn't go on the show or only appeared on the show very, very rarely.
Right. Didn't want to live in the madhouse.
Yes.
Because it really was like, I don't know if they were actually living in that house. I choose to believe that they were. And that house was an insane landmine of fucking clutter and dog shit on the floor and, like, just massive, like, expenditures. Like, they had all the most expensive shit everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were living very lavishly.
So, yeah, it was an interesting show. There was a lot of arguments. Like, the brother and sister would fight incessantly.
Yes.
And then,
and also, I mean, Ozzy's great. The great thing was, like, a lot of times Ozzy, he'd be captioned and stuff because you wouldn't know what the fuck he was saying.
I don't know. It's fucking crazy.
You know, and then he'd wander off frame, and that would be his contribution.
He's just the befuddled old man that everyone loves on
right.
the show. You know what
but
I mean?
But it worked because the show really needed that because the other three personalities that it centered around
are kind of insufferable, yeah.
Are all just competing to be the most insufferable people on the planet. So it kind of needed the Ozzy straight man to just kind of be us.
What the fuck is it? Fucking ridiculous.
I saw there was another show that Ozzy did. Are you talking about the other reality show he did?
Not so much, no. But yeah, he is in another show.
Yeah, there's one where him and Jack travel around. I saw like an episode.
It's like a
of that.
Spinoff.
Yeah, it's a little spinoff.
And it's, I think it went three seasons, or it's still, maybe it's still going.
I think it's still ongoing.
I never watched it.
Yeah, it wasn't really that great or interesting.
I saw one where they were hanging out in a teepee. Whatever, it was fine.
Yeah, I was kind of like, all
it
right.
It just kind of seemed like a lesser version of the Osbournes.
Yeah, like a lot of rock stars. Yeah, Sammy Hagar has a show where he does too. That where he goes like he flies somewhere and they like meet with people and it's like, oh man, dude, you're not that interesting. You're really rich, but you're not that interesting.
Let's talk about a few instances. Let's talk about a few little things from Ozzy's life that you might have wondered about. So let's first talk about his superhuman drug tolerance,
sweet,
yes.
Which is so legendary. That back in 2010, it actually elicited the attention of a geneticist named Nathaniel Pearson.
Oh.
Ozzy Osbourne is a genetic mutant. Despite a lifetime of hard partying, heavy metal rocker Ozzy Osbourne is alive and kicking at 61.
This is an old article.
Yes. And he's still alive right. and kicking 10 years later. Although not kicking as hard, as we might find out later. He may have his genes to thank for that. Now that the full Osbourne genome has been sequenced, the truth is out. The former lead singer of Black Sabbath is a genetic mutant. The musician has several gene variants that we've never seen before, said geneticist Nathaniel Pearson, who sequenced the rocker's genome, including variants that could impact how Osbourne's body absorbs methamphetamines and other recreational drugs.
Wow.
I've always said that at the end of the world, there will be roaches, Ozzy, and Keith Richards, Osbourne's wife Sharon Osbourne said at a Friday's conference. He's going to outlive us all. That fascinated me, how his body can endure so much. Osbourne's resilience also piqued the interest of Gnome Inc., a genetics company that began sequencing the full Ozzy genome last July. Why not Ozzy? George Condi, co-founder and chief executive of Cambridge, Massachusetts-based Gnome, told ABCNews.com. Connie said the company was interested in exploring the genome of someone as musically talented as Osbourne, of course, trying to figure out if good genes had anything to do with Osbourne's ability to handle his aggressive lifestyle was also a major draw for research.
Dude, I want to get some Ozzy genes, man.
Ozzy yeah. gene therapy, dude.
Yep. That we need to just start injecting all these drug addicts and stuff with the Ozzy genes. They'll be fine.
I'll tell you what, Paul, you need accessing you drink, man, then you're hurling.
Oh, yeah, dude, for sure.
Ozzy would do all these drugs listed here, cocaine, morphine, sleeping pills, cough syrup, LSD. He'd do all that shit, and probably meth, and he'd be fine, dude.
So here's how it works. So this is Ozzy saying, I was curious, given the swimming pool of booze I've guzzled down over the years, not to mention all the cocaine, morphine, sleeping pills, cough syrup, LSD, Rohypnol, you name it, there's really no plausible medical reason why I should still be alive. Maybe my DNA could say why. So
that doesn't sound like anything that Ozzy would ever be able to produce as a sentence,
yeah.
by the way.
Well, apparently he wrote it. It might have been ghostwritten. There's a good chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Not surprisingly, the most notable difference in Osbourne's genes had to do with how he processed drugs and alcohol. Genes connected to addiction, alcoholism, and the absorption of marijuana, opiates, methamphetamines all had unique variations in Osbourne, a few of which Gnome geneticists had never seen before. He had a change on the regulatory region of the ADH4 gene, a gene associated with alcoholism that we've never seen before, Condi told ABCNews.com. He has an increased predisposition for alcohol dependence of something like 6 times higher. He also had a slight increased risk of cocaine addiction, but he dismissed that. He said that if anyone has done as much cocaine as he had, they would have been hooked.
Oh, fair enough.
So basically, there's Ozzy. He's a fucking aberration.
Damn. Yeah, we should start just cloning Ozzy.
So what about, you might have heard about Ozzy pissing on the Alamo.
Yes.
So here's here's what happened. So it was February 19th, the day before my birthday, in 1982. He decided he was going to cause trouble that afternoon by pissing on the treasured National Monument in San Antonio. Well, they're saying that's not how it went down. It wasn't. Ozzy didn't go piss on the Alamo to.
He didn't do it on purpose.
To shock or anything. It wasn't like, I always hate the Alamo. You know?
He just had to fucking piss, dude.
He was simply going about his business, partying like a rock star. After too many drinks, he stumbled out in the street, dressed
in a dress.
In a dress, because his wife had hidden all of his clothes to keep him from going to hit the bars up. And he just kind of pissed on the nearest thing that was around. But he had no idea that he was pissing on the city's sacred 60-foot-high cenotaph, located directly across from the Alamo building. He was barely in any condition to remember what city he was in, let alone what he was pissing on. So, contrary to popular belief, Ozzy did not technically pee on the Alamo building itself. He peed within the Alamo Plaza, and he chose a pretty bad place.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
The cenotaph was built in 1939 by the Texas Centennial Commission to honor the dead, whose remains lay somewhere else, and local officials didn't take too kindly to the public desecration by urination. The Alamo, after all, is the site of the famous battle that took, you know, whatever, the Alamo. We could do an episode on that, maybe. Police arrested Ozzy, who spent part of the afternoon in a local jail on charges of public intoxication. He was freed later that evening on $40 bond and performed at the city's Hemisphere Arena Convention Center. Although the fine didn't amount to much more than a slap on the wrist, Osborne was banned from playing San Antonio again until 1992 when he made a public apology and donated $10,000 to the Daughters of the Republic of Texas, the organization that maintains the Alamo grounds.
Damn.
Isn't it just great to be rich? Like, you pissed on this Alamo statue, but it's okay. You're going to give him $10,000 and say you're sorry.
There's something that's interesting about this, though, because this happened in pre-internet days. So it wasn't like we got, as consumers of Ozzy's music and shit, it wasn't like we got that fucking unbiased look at what actually happened. The legend of him pissing on the Alamo grew and grew and grew to the point when I was a kid, when I heard it, I heard he did it on purpose. He was fuck Texas and fuck the government. I'm going to piss on this fucking Alamo right here. Blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody I knew believed Ozzy deliberately went out to piss on the Alamo. And I didn't hear anything about him apologizing for it or giving the money. So that didn't reach as far as the legend of him pissing on the Alamo did.
Yep.
And I think a lot of the crazy shit that he's done probably fits that same profile.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, you might think so. Well, this next story might change your mind about that.
All right.
So you probably heard about Ozzy biting the head off a bat.
Yeah.
But have you heard about the doves?
I have heard that he bit the heads off of doves, too, yeah.
So, blah, 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 blah. All right, so as the saying goes, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. And Osborne was finding ever wilder and unbelievable ways to reinvent his sound and image. First off, he was greatly aided and abetted by a dynamic new backing band led by guitar wizard Randy Rhoads. And it didn't hurt that his career was being guided by the business acumen and sheer tenacity of his manager and future wife, Sharon Arden, now known as Sharon Osborne. Many people have attempted to make sense of the day's bizarre events, including Mick Wall, who recounted the incident in his Black Sabbath biography, Symptom of the Universe. As Wall wrote, the prospect of Osborne's nascent solo career were still in doubt as his debut solo album, Blizzard of Oz, slowly fought its way onto the UK charts while awaiting its US release. In a bid to encourage Epic Records to take her client's music more seriously, Arden decided it would be a good idea to make nice by attending the label's annual sales convention. Sharon arranged for Ozzy to give a short speech lauding the efforts of the company workforce in the lead-up to the U.S. release of Blizzard of Oz, Wall wrote. So Sharon's ever the business person. She doesn't feel like they're pushing his album hard enough, so she's like, we're going to go to this annual sales convention, you're going to give this speech, and the piece de resistance is going to be, when you end your speech, you're going to release three white doves into the audience
label
higher-ups and label worker bees. But Arden's clever peacemaking reference unexpectedly and gruesomely backfired when Osborne, who had polished off a bottle of brandy in the car on the way to the convention, according to Wall, got bored with the proceedings. As Osborne recalled to Wall, I just remember this PR woman going on and on at me. In the end, I said, do you like animals? Then I pulled one of the doves out and bit its fucking head off just to shut her up. Then I did it again with the next dove, spitting the head out on the table, and the woman fell on the floor screaming. That's when they threw me out. They said I'd never work for CBS again.
That's awesome, dude.
Wow. Yep.
A mortified Arden immediately turned the potential fiasco to her advantage. Not by trying to minimize the damage, which was, for the moment, known only to label executives, but by building it up to the perfect storm of press coverage to ensure the public would be able to read and watch all of the gory details in every newspaper and newscast across America.
I mean, so she saw the value that this would have.
She's like, okay, we can make this work.
I'm sure probably played into his whole fucking, the pissing on the Alamo fucking stunt, too. I'm sure they didn't try and squash that as hard as they could have.
Yeah, they're like, whatever. No. Adds to the legend. So we've all heard about Ozzy biting the head off a bat. Now there's a commemorative fucking toy, plush toy.
Well, you want proof that fucking reality's getting worse?
Yep.
Here you go.
Ozzy Osbourne has marked the 37th anniversary of his most infamous onstage incident with a new piece of merch. On the 20th of January, 1982, Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a bat during a live show at Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Des Moines, Iowa.
Dude, Ozzy was busy.
The creature, thought to be already dead, was thrown on stage by a fan. Now, there's some fucking dispute about this bat, by the way. So, the dispute is not whether or not it was a real bat. It was. Now, Ozzy says that when he grabbed it and bit the head off it, he thought it was just a fucking rubber bat. Like, someone had thrown a fucking rubber bat on stage, and he's just like, whatever, I'll just bite the head off. But the dispute comes in as to whether or not the bat was alive. Because the guy who supposedly brought the bat to the arena and threw it on stage said it was dead. Ozzy claims that not only was it alive, but that it bit him. And he had to go get rabies shots afterwards.
Right.
Now, I happen to think that it's more likely the bat was dead, because how the fuck do you throw a live bat on the stage?
You're going to need rabies shots anyway if you bit the head off of a bat. There's going to be blood and shit in your mouth that shouldn't be in your mouth, so you're going to have to get that anyway.
Oh, yeah. So that's another fucking legendary Aussie incident.
I mean, either way, though,
that's
he bit
crazy.
The head off a fucking bat. Whether it was a corpse or not is really not that material to me in the overall, like... Because who else has done anything like this? Who's bitten the head off a bat?
Yeah, the only person that comes to mind is Ozzy.
Yeah, if you fuck... And I even asked... I was kind of curious. So I asked my wife, I'm like, so... I know she's not, like, a huge Ozzy fan or anything. You know, she's like, maybe... She knows who he is. I'm like, so I'm doing an Ozzy show. What's the thing that you know about Ozzy? And she's like, he bit the head off a bat.
Right.
So this is like, that's his thing. And it wasn't like, he didn't have to go around the country biting the head off a bat at every show.
No.
You just had to do it one time, and people forever is like, he bit the head off a fucking bat.
I think he should have stuck with pissing on sacred monuments. I think that would have been a cool way to go with this, too.
Yeah, just go and piss on everything.
Like, you know, play a fucking Saudi Arabian concert and then piss on the Kaaba or whatever.
Yeah, go to fucking...
Oops, I'm fucking sorry. I didn't mean to piss on the Kaaba.
And I'm all fucking shit on the Washington Monument.
Yeah, dude. Have him piss in Lincoln's face and get arrested for it. Let him out on $40 bond. Just make a deal.
Emancipate this, you fucking cocksucker.
You know?
Just piss on everything. Piss on everything sacred.
Yeah, everything sacred.
I'll tell
gets
you what,
a little
dude.
Splash of Aussie piss.
This is a little fucking secret a lot of people don't know about our Statue of Liberty. Her head smells like piss.
Yeah, why is that?
So other people are pissing. Oh, I think it's because once you're up in that, or at least when I went up it, you're not getting to a bathroom for a while. There's a whole herd of people going up a spiral staircase behind you.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Oh, you can't even go in the crowd anymore.
Yeah, see, I was very lucky to be able to go up into the head of that fucking thing. But I also like the fact that I know that it reeked of human piss in there. The inside of the Statue of Liberty smells like piss. So somebody's already pissing on the Statue of Liberty.
Constantly, apparently.
But nobody else is biting the heads off things, so I guess maybe he was smart to do that.
Maybe he should bite the head off the Statue of Liberty.
Ozzy can just go
piss
around
down the neck hole.
Ozzy
know?
Can go piss on every Trump building, dude. That could be his thing now.
It's an old sideshow thing, too, so it wasn't even like he invented the idea. They used to have those geeks at the sideshows that was their whole thing. They would bite the head off a chicken.
Yeah, there you go.
So he
they didn't get super famous for it.
He took
the
sideshow shit.
One of the creators of heavy metal piss on this building.
Yep.
Why not, dude? If you're Ozzy, look, most people, TJ, they do what they can get away with.
Yeah.
Ozzy can fucking get away with it, dude. He fucking proved he got away with it. He fucking pissed on a statue in Texas by the Alamo.
Oh, my God, dude. If you pissed on that fucking part
of
the Alamo.
I'd be dead, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I'd just be fucking dead, TJ.
They'd probably shoot you for it.
So what about, you guys heard the story about Ozzy snorting ants?
No.
No, that's a new one on me.
All right. So, anyway, well, it's a fake story anyway.
Oh.
Apparently. But, here's the, fucking breakdown here. According to former Ozzy Osbourne guitarist Jake E. Lee, one of heavy metal's wildest stories never actually took place. Although it was depicted in Motley Crue's The Dirt biopic, Lee swears Ozzy didn't snort a line of ants. One of the most famous gross-out contests reportedly saw Ozzy Osbourne and Motley Crue going dare for dare, ultimately ending with Osbourne lapping up a puddle of his own urine. However, the ant-snorting tale has been the most enduring. I handed Ozzy the straw, and he walked over to a crack on the sidewalk and bent over it, Six recalls in The Dirt. I saw a long column of ants marching a little dugout built where the pavement met the dirt, and I thought, no, he wouldn't. He did. He put the straw to his nose, and with his bare white ass peeking out from behind the dress like a sliced honeydew, sent the entire line of ants tickling up his nose with a single monstrous snort.
Damn, Nikki Six has the soul of a poet.
Yeah.
Shit.
Ozzy doesn't remember snorting ants, nor does he remember the entire 1984 Motley tour with Motley.
I will
Motley
say
Crue.
That. If you don't even remember the tour, it's hard to say you never fucking snorted some ants. I mean, hey.
So here's, but this is Jake E. Lee speaking. He says, okay. I was there and I never saw ants. I was right there. He snorted a little spider.
Oh, well.
There was not a trail of fucking ants there. Tommy Lee says it. Nikki says it. Ozzy says it. They were fucked up. I was not. I was trying to get a fucking suntan. That's all I was doing. They were getting fucked up. Ozzy snorted a little tiny, stupid spider that was crawling across. There was no ants. There was no fucking ants. I don't care what the other guys say. There was no ants.
That dude's very adamant, dude. He's like, there was no
ants.
He's
sick of this ant question.
I'm tired of this ant bullshit.
There was no fucking ants. It was a little spider. That's all it fucking was.
It was a fucking little tiny, stupid ass motherfucking spider, but there weren't no fucking ants. I don't care who says there was ants. I don't care if Nikki says there was ants. I don't care if Tommy Lee says there was ants. I don't care if Ozzy says there was ants. There was no fucking ants.
I love that even in the maybe fake story, because I think that this could go either way. Methinks the maiden Jakey Lee doth protest too much here.
Yeah.
Maybe he saw something that blew his fucking mind and knows he will never snort a line of ants, so he wants to try and tarnish the image of what happened.
Because
the people that were actually there and participating in it, not trying to get a suntan, all say that he snorted a bunch of ants. And, like, yeah, he snorted a spider. Okay, so it's not like snorting a whole line of ants, but I've still never seen anybody snort a fucking spider.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like, there's still... Yeah, it's kind of misleading to say it's fake when the fucking alternative is just like, yeah, he snorted a spider, not ants.
Right. And then he swallowed the spider to catch the fly.
Perhaps he'll
swallowed die. The ants to catch the fly, dude. I think he snorted more than just ants. I think he snorted every member of the animal kingdom that you could possibly fit in your nasal passage. He snorted ladybugs. I think he's done a line of every small fucking animal
dude,
on
you
the
know
planet.
What?
I think
that.
He snorted a bat and then stuck its head out of his mouth from the inside.
Right.
And then bit its head off and let the head fall to
of course
the floor.
Ozzy would just grind up the bigger animals, Paul, just so he could snort those and say, to say he'd done
it. Yeah, grind up some beef jerky and snort.
I freeze-dried a fucking walrus.
Put fucking... put Ozzy on the fucking ark, dude. He'll fucking take care of it for you.
Man, dude, the 80s were a dark time for metal. Ozzy was smart to go back to that other look.
Yes.
Holy fuck, man.
No more tears. All right. So, Ozzy Osbourne is finished with a new solo album, calls it his greatest ever. I kind of doubt that it's going to be your greatest ever, but hey, you know, maybe you don't. Maybe you never know.
Maybe it will be.
As we saw looking at his discography, he hasn't released a new album since 2010.
It's been a while.
So it's been 9 years or so since the last album came out. But he's revealed that he has finished work on a new solo album. He said it was recorded by Andrew Watt, the producer who previously worked with Ozzy and Moist Calzone on the latter's Take What You Want. In a new interview with The Sun, Osborne said that the collaboration with Calzone led him to working with Watts on an as-of-yet-untitled effort. I'd never heard of this kid, he remarked of Posty. Who I guess, what would it be, Moisty?
Moisty?
Yeah, it's Moisty.
How about you just say Post Malone, TJ?
Yeah, I don't know.
Moisty.
I just refuse. He wanted to sing me. He wanted me to sing on his song "Take What You Want," so I did, and one thing led to another. That sounds like they had sex.
I mean, hey, well, you know what? TJ, sometimes two men get together and things happen.
Maybe they snorted a line
it's
of ants.
It's 2019.
I think he should snort Calzone into his fuck. Yeah, whatever. So Calzone previously remarked that Osborne felt the collaboration was his greatest work since his Black Sabbath days, and the track has helped introduce Ozzy to a contemporary audience of young listeners. It's fortuitous that all of this sparked the rocker to re-enter the studio, as it's the perfect time for him to strike with new music. Osborne went on to say the new LP consists only of 9 tracks, one of which is called Ordinary Man. Though it may be relatively short, he proclaimed it the greatest album I've done.
Hey, maybe it is, TJ.
What's more, he considers the record the catalyst to get me where I am today. The 7-year-old rocker has been sidelined with a string of health issues this year, but working in the studio apparently helped his mental state, as he explained. If it wasn't for making this record, I would still be on Traction, thinking I'm going to be lying here forever. I've missed music so badly. My fans are so loyal and so good. Up until making the album, I thought I was dying, but that got me off my ass. The album was finished in 4 weeks.
Still cranking them out fast.
Yeah, not quite as fast as the 12 hours.
No, but I mean, 4 weeks by modern standards
yeah,
is
pretty
that's
fast.
That's a quick fucking
says,
turnaround.
He's going
album.
Back touring in 2020, TJ.
Well, that might be in doubt because he was actually, he recently, this is a recent news article from the 9th.
I guess not.
That says that he's postponing his tour. British rocker Ozzy Osbourne on Wednesday postponed his solo European tour for a second time, but insisted he was not dying or retiring despite a year of bad health. I'm not dying, I'm recovering. It's just going to take a little bit longer than everyone thought it would, the former Black Sabbath frontman, 70, said in a video posted on his social media accounts. Osborne has been in and out of the hospital for almost a year because of a fall that required extensive surgery on his spine and neck, as well as pneumonia, flu complications, and infections in his hand.
Damn.
The emergencies and other setbacks have prompted speculation in tabloid media that he is near death. Osborne said he was bored stiff with being in bed all day, but added, "You're just going to have to be a little more patient. I'm postponing the European tour because I'm not ready. I'm not retiring. I've still got gigs to do. But when I do come back on an American tour, I want to be 100% ready to come back and knock your socks off," he added. Osborne's solo No More Tours 2 has already been postponed once. The European leg was rescheduled for a January 2020 start. The rescheduled North American dates starting in May 2020 will go ahead, promoters Live Nation said on Wednesday.
Well, there you have it, dude.
But he's had a year of pretty bad health after suffering a fall and doing all this other shit. And, you know, so you kind of have to wonder, you know, I mean, he's 70 years old.
Yeah, how much longer can
he's
he keep
led
doing,
a fucking
yeah.
hard drug lifestyle. He's had a 52-year-long career that I already elucidated the stats on. He's sitting on a net worth of $220 million. He's making him one of the richest musicians out there.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzy's kind of done it all. I mean, and he's really up there. I mean, I guess he's still going to fucking, maybe this might be his last tour. You never know.
He should run for president. We should pass an amendment to the Constitution
that says
that allows foreign people born in foreign countries to become the president,
but
and then
only,
we should make Ozzy the president.
Only if they're 70 plus, though.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that needs to be the new cutoff for if you're even going
to
run.
Yeah, that needs to be
Let's
the bottom.
Let's amend the Constitution.
If you're not a
plus.
Doddering old fool, I don't even want you up there.
Don't even want him on there.
If you haven't reached senility yet, then we don't want you. We're not interested.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, so a lot of, I've seen a lot of really, like, tabloidy kind of news sites that are, you know, they're reporting it like Ozzy on death's door and shit. So,
right.
Some picture of Ozzy looking super pale or something.
Right. It's, so, do you guys think he's on death's door, or do you think he's got a little bit more gas left in the tank?
I think there's still a little bit left. I mean,
I think it's possible that he's sicker than he's letting on, but I think that the smart bet goes with Ozzy Osbourne on this one. I think he'll probably get off his ass and do the fucking tour.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's kind of the type of person that he is, so
yeah,
I'll bet that way. I won't be totally shocked if he's.
I mean, a year and a half. You know, if he recovers, I think he'll be able to do it. I mean, but does Ozzy have many more tours in him? No, I mean, certainly not.
Like, how long can you really be? Like, at what point do you have to say, like, you know, I can't be Ozzy Osbourne anymore?
I don't know. I don't know if Ozzy. That'll
like,
ever
is
happen.
70 that cutoff, or is it?
I
just
think,
like,
dude, Ozzy's going to be someone that's going to.
What's
know,
the possibility that in 10 years we're going to be watching 80-year-old Ozzy fucking up there on stage, like, croaking something out
in a wheelchair
or something?
Yeah. I think he would try it. I think Ozzy would do it as long as he's able to do it. And, I mean,
he'll have, like, a
likely,
fucking gothed-out,
Ozzy,
like,
dude,
mobility scooter
Ozzy's
going to
get some probably disease and just be dead, and they're just going to find – he's just going to fucking die one day. It's not going to be like that. Ozzy's not – someone's not going to quit. He's not going to retire. There's no retirement for someone like Ozzy. You can just tell. He's going to be someone who's going to do this till the day he dies. In some capacity.
Well, the reason that this tour is called No More Tours 2 is because Ozzy Osbourne actually retired once in like the early 90s.
Sure.
He's like, I'm done.
Sounds like he's changed his
mind.
He
went on his No More Tours tour, which was immediately followed like a year or two later by the Retirement Sucks tour. And his retirement basically amounted to nothing. He didn't even slow down.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. Pretty fucking cool, long, storied, interesting career. We could have got way more into a lot of specific details.
Sure, but... You know,
I mean, if I could go back in time, I think I would have broken this down to do one on Black Sabbath era and one on solo career era.
We still could.
But,
we still could
yeah,
go
I mean,
back and take
those,
a closer look at Black Sabbath.
It honestly probably deserves it.
Black Snabbath.
Black
Snabbath.
We didn't probably tell you Black Snabbath.
Black Snabbath.
Holy shit.
Sharon!
Mandela effect.
Black
Snabbath. Paul, this is the Paul from the universe where it's called Black Snabbath.
Must have been that line of ants I snorted right before the show. Sorry.
Delicious
it
ants.
It happens, man.
Just trying to live that Aussie life.
Personally, I wasn't fucked up, Paul, and I remember being a small spider.
Yeah.
But, you know, TJ was there as well.
I was just there getting my suntan, you know?
Oh, okay, so you don't know, huh?
Anyway, that's pretty much all we got for you guys right now. See you again on...
Become a patron.
Wednesday if you're a patron. Thursday with some clips if you're
not a patron.
I thought
we were getting together tomorrow to do that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know what? Fuck what I'm saying. We're getting back together tomorrow to do a... We're going to watch the debate.
Yeah. In my view, it's going to be a tremendous debate.
And I guess Tulsi Gabbard, who said initially that she might not come, is coming. So
okay, well.
She was just dipping her toe in betraying all the people that, you know, fucking donated to her.
Yeah, I mean, like, isn't that weird to
it's
raise
just so, such a stupid
to
thing
raise
to
a bunch of money?
I'm gonna boycott the debate.
Yeah, and like, and you raise money on the promise of like, get me in the debate, raise this money, and then to be like, I ain't doing it. They're
maybe,
corrupt.
Yeah,
it's like they've been corrupt this whole time.
Yeah,
they're corrupt
the
when you were raising
me.
The fucking money for it.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. But hey.
We'll
do that tomorrow.
Anyway, we're gonna do that tomorrow.
Tomorrow
probably
night,
live on Vimeo, probably, and then we'll post it on YouTube afterwards. That's how we usually do it.
Sounds good.
So we'll see how it goes, and see you guys tomorrow with that. And I don't know, you guys think we'll do flat? Well, I guess we'll figure out if we're gonna do Flash Ride or not. But yeah, see you motherfuckers later.
Peace.
Peace.